not wasting any time. So that was our akdama, and today we're going to start the story of how it came about, and we're going to try along the way to learn about our own journey. This is a major journey of Shaul HaMelech to become the Melech Yisrael, and in the process, as we said last week, Divrei HaNeviim is not just to learn about their story; it's also to learn about our story. Okay. So the story of Shaul HaMelech is a shocking story, because you would expect that the journey that led to the anointment of the Melech Yisrael would be one of tremendous grandeur and a very chashuv mission that he was on, and really he was on a mission to find lost donkeys. I can't think of a less auspicious journey to be on, and it's something that we're going to have to discuss because it needs a pshat. Vatoivadnaha asoinos, and the asoinos were lost. Lekish avi Shaul, to Kish, the father of Shaul. Vayomer Kish al Shaul benoi, so Kish said to Shaul his son, Kachna itcho es echad ma'ana orim, take with you one of the boys, and it was one of the servants. Vekum leich, and get up and go, bakesh es ha asoinos, search for the donkeys. So the Malbim is Meirich here that if you read between the lines, if you understand how to read the words, the first thing that the Navi wants us to know is the incredible hashgacha here, that things happen that were not unexpected. Kish lost his donkeys. And the Malbim doesn't speak this out, but if you may wonder, why doesn't it say Vatoivadna asainos, and donkeys were lost? What is it, what's the hey idea, the donkeys? And the Pasha Pshat, I think, is that he lost all of his donkeys. The donkeys were lost. Kol asainos. I don't know how many he had. I don't know if there were 2 or 22. I have no idea. But his donkeys disappeared. Hashgacha. And it's hinted in the Pasuk. Not just that he's the one that lost them, but Lekish, because of Kish, Avishol. The donkeys were lost because there's a story that's about to unfold. It was for the purpose of Kish. Lekish to Kish. For the purpose of Kish. But not just him for himself, because himself, that's not what the goal was. It was Lekish, Avishol, to Kish, the father of Shol. Okay, because that's the whole point here. The whole point is that Kish was the father of Shaul. Let's remind ourselves, and I don't think I brought it out strongly enough, I didn't have the time last week, that the story of Shaul HaMelech begins very surprisingly by telling the story of Shaul's father. It's a very unique thing. When we're introduced to Avram Avinu, when we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu even, when we're introduced to many people, we're introduced to the person, and we find out about their birth, we find out about their... But it's about the person. The story of Shaul begins with the first pasuk has nothing to do with Shaul. It's about his father. And then the second pasuk is about Shaul. Okay? And the understanding must be. Mefarshim say it, but we don't need the Mefarshim to say it because it comes out of the pasuk. That Kish played a very important role in preparing Shaul to be the Melech Yisrael. And who he was directly impacted who the Melech Yisrael was going to be. It has to be that way. And that's why the Hashgacha feared ice, the Hashgacha made it. That the way that Shaul got to the Malchus was because of something his father lost. His father was Geirim that he came to the Malchus. You know why? Because his father was Geirim that he came to the Malchus. And what a chizuk for us in our plans to be mechanech our own children. What an unbelievable chizuk of the impact that a father could have on the life of his child. And I will prove to you in a moment or two that he was a gentle father. It wasn't the pshat that he was a domineering tyrant of a father. He was a gentle father. And yet, he had an enormous, it's clear in the pasuk, it must be, I don't need a story about Kish. It must be that who he was ended up being given over to his son. And his son carried the midas of his father with him. There is no other pshat in the pasuk. And what a chizuk for us, that we have to develop ourselves and try to recognize how important it is to maintain a relationship with our children. Rav Volba writes in Alei Shor, something that really comes out of a Meiri in the beginning of the sugya, the Chavtes sugya in Kedusha and Avlamet, he says that the goal with little children, and many people don't fulfill this goal, the goal with little children is that your relationship with them should survive until they're older. Don't destroy your relationship with a 10-year-old who gets thrown out of class too often. Because as a 16-year-old, you need to be his best friend. And when I say his best friend, I'm not trying to be some American liberal saying best friend. I'm quoting a Rashi. The Rashi says, Re'acha asher kenafshecha, zot Rashi zu avicha. That is your father. And that's the goal. Not everyone is zaycha to a father like that, but every one of us can make sure our children are zaycha to a father like that. We can all make sure of that. That we need to be that re'acha, we need to be that friend for our children. We need to be that guide. We need to remain in their lives. We need to recognize that our children are allowed to be different than us and have their own journey and to stay involved. Look at the imprint that a father had on his child. I remember one of the first times that I sat with Reuven Leichter from Eretz Yisrael. So he came to Waterbury to visit us. And I was a younger man of maybe 26, 27 years old. And I had three little children. And we were sitting in a room. It was just for the Kyle guys. We were sitting in a room. David, you can hear me? Okay, Sam, you want to try to move up a drop? So we were sitting in a room with just the Kyle guys, and Rav Leichter spoke, and I have no idea what he said. I don't remember. However, I remember a comment that he made. It changed my life. He said these words. He said, "I have a daughter," and then he put it. You know, he's a big, big guy. You've seen him there? He's a big guy. Look him up. There are videos of him. He goes, "She's not my type." Because he's a very organized guy and she isn't. And I was in shock. You're allowed to say that? I was so moved from the way that he just like hits his daughter that he loves and he's mechanech and she's not his type. I don't know why at the time. I was like, you know, he admitted it in public. You know? But the role of a father, if there's a place in this sefer that shows us the role of a father, it's this one. So the Asaynais were lost, Lekish Avishol. Vayomer Kish El Shol Benoi, and Kish said to Shol Benoi, saying, he wasn't Medaber and he wasn't Mitzaveh. That's a father that has a relationship with his son. He didn't tell his son what to do, and he didn't command his son. He said to his son, it's a similar lashon by Yaakov sending Yosef. Vayomer Kish El Shol Benoi, you see that? There's a chazal that says, Kol Amira Belechisha. Amira is softly. He said softly to his son, Kachna Itcha, take with you. Why does it say Itcha? Kachna is Echad Me'ana'orim. Why Itcha? Because one of the lessons that Shaul learned from his father, and we're going to see this in this perek, is that just because these guys work for you, it doesn't mean you treat them as less than you. And if you want to be the Melech Yisrael, Kish didn't know this, but if you want to be the Melech Yisrael, you need to be Machshev every single Yid. You can't be the king of people that you do not respect and see their value. So Kachna Itcha is part of the Hachana. Take with you. You're going together with him. With you. When I spoke Friday night and I was reminded the Olam to be respectful to the waiters, it's not Stam like, oh, I want to keep peace in the yeshiva, you know, please don't get under the waiter's skin. No, it's because it's a mark of a Ben Torah that has the attitude of Itcha. Even if someone has a job and they're working for you, and it's, first of all, they're not working for you, but you know, even if they have a job and they're working for you, but there's a certain sense of Itcha. You have your job, I have my job, but we respect each other's makom. Kachna Itcha, is it delicious? Kachna Itcha es echad mehana'orim, one of the na'orim, v'kum leich, and get up and go. Can I ask you a question? What did Kish think? That if he didn't tell him to get up and go, he was going to go without getting up? This is a pasuk. Kum leich. There is only one pshat, Lani Yuzdaiti. And that is that Kish, Ruach HaKodesh Diber B'Piv. That Kish was mechaven to what was happening here. L'mashal, in Parshas Chayesara, when Avram Avinu bought the Ma'aras HaMachpelah from Ephraim, and Avram Avinu was like a melech, and Ephraim was Ofer. He was not a melech. And when he bought the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the lashon of the pasuk is, Vatokom HaMa'ara. The Ma'ara stood up. It didn't stand up, but it was elevated. Zakt Rashi on that pasuk, Tekuma Hoysala. It had a uplifting. It was Miyad Hediyat Liyad Melech. You see that? Tekuma is Liyad Melech. So Kish says to his son, who thinks he's going to find donkeys. He says, "Come, get up. You're about to be lifted up to a new world. You're about to have an whole new level in your life." And this is a good place to talk about what's going on here. Because Shaul HaMelech is being told, to go find donkeys. The Malbim says that the whole thing is bizarre. Shaul was a Loimei Torah on another level. We know that Shaul was the best man in Klal Yisrael. How do we know that? Because that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Ein ish mibnei Yisrael toiv mimenu, Pasuk Beis. So Shaul was the best man in Klal Yisrael. Not the person you want finding donkeys. We would have other jobs for that best man in Klal Yisrael. So the Malbim says it's part of the Nes that something fell into Kish's mind that he's going to walk into the Beis Medrash, goes over to the most chashuv and bacher, says, "Stop learning and go find my donkeys, please." It's Mavil. And Shaul's like, "Yeah, of course, Tati, of course I'm going to do that." So the whole thing is a nes. But there's more than that here. There's more than that, and that is there's a level of a pashup shot, and then there's maybe a more Kabbalistic shot that I've seen that I don't fully understand, but I'll give over to you. And that is the pashup shot is that this is welcome to life. Many, many times in life we think we're going to find donkeys and we're really going to become a king. Our flight is delayed, and we get caught in traffic, we have to take care of something tedious that we didn't realize we would have to take care of. It's annoying. It gets on our nerves. Bureaucracy. Nobody loves bureaucracy. The DMV. Nobody likes being in the DMV. We have to do these things that are like Bakesh HaAsoinos, find the donkeys. But in a Yid's journey, every single thing along the journey has a certain tachlis to it. And there's a reason for it. Some of us, myself included, have had parts of our journey that were upsetting, painful, embarrassing towards myself, difficult parts of the journey. I felt like I was looking for donkeys. Not a very dignified part of the journey. But a person has to know that he could find his malchus in his looking for asoinos, in dealing with the deep, dark corners of his mind, in taking care of the annoying things that he has no idea why he has to take care of. Shaul HaMelech goes with a lebedikait, with a good attitude towards finding his father's donkeys, for heaven's sake. It's a big lesson. Others say that Asoinos represents the most distant Jews. The neshamas of the most distant Jews, because a donkey, a chamar is the animal that represents the most physical of physicality. Because it's in the word chamar. Chamar is chamrius. It's the most distant from ruchnius is a chamar. Asoinos is a form of chamar. And Bakesh is how Asoinos, there were donkeys there. But there was a message there that if you're going to be a melech, your job is to care for the Asoinos in Klal Yisrael. Your job is to find the lost donkeys. Find the people that lost their way. Don't think if you're a melech, your job is just to sit on the table with the mayetzes. No, your job is to sit outside and talk to the guys that walk out during Chazar Shats. That's your job. Bakesh is HaAsoinos. Find the Asoinos. And it's a very important lesson that the melech, we all have that aspect that we need to do. But the melech, a leader in Klal Yisrael, if any of you in any capacity are in a role of leadership, you need to remember not to focus only on the elite. Elitism is not a Jewish concept. Adarabah, the whole Indian of Yiddishkeit is that we care about every single individual. Shevet Gad, the Ma'asef L'chol HaMachanos, the last Shevet, all the way in the back. We're caring about him. We're worried about him. We're looking out for him. There's a place for him and a makom for him. That's Bakesh HaSo'asaynos. But Rabbi Isai, you will soon see that there's an added lesson to the lesson. Because did Shaul find the Asaynos? Did he? Does anybody know the story? Shaul did not find the Asaynos. Were they found? They found them with their way home. They were found. When Shaul came to Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel told him, stop worrying about the donkeys, they're back. Okay? What a lesson! It's not us! We have to look for the donkeys. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is the one that finds them. We have to try. We have to do our job. We have to sit with people. We have to give our best selves over. And then we have to say, I did my job. And it's very important. Maybe some of you have been involved in Kirov or things like that. When you cannot judge your success based on how many people come back, because it's not your job to bring them back. It's your job to try. And you don't understand the impact that you make, and you don't understand what happens, and you don't understand the difference in people's lives when you impact them, even if on the outside nothing changes. It's not your job to bring them home. It's your job to search for them. To try to bakesh HaSo'asaynos. They found their way home. They were good. But that's the nekuda, that's the job. The kum leich bakesh HaSo'asaynos. So Shaul began this long trek to trying to find the Asaynos. Vayavur behar Ephraim. He passed through Har Ephraim. Vayavur be'eretz Shalisha. He passed through Eretz Shalisha. V'loy matzo. And they did not find the donkeys. Vayavru be'eretz Sha'alim, and they passed in the land of Sha'alim vo'ayin, and they weren't there. Vayavur be'eretz Yemini, and they went in Eretz Yemini, Binyamin, v'loy matzo, and they didn't find. Okay, now this pasuk needs to be read carefully. Okay, on the surface, Stam, this pasuk is telling us just that they searched all over and didn't find. They were running out of time. It was just a futile search. But there's a little bit of a nuance, just pashup shat, in the pasuk. It's very interesting. Did you notice that sometimes it says v'loy matzo, but one time it says v'ayin? And did you notice that sometimes it says v'ya'avar, but one time it says v'ya'avru? Says the Malbim, just delicious pshat, you just can eat it, you know, like the pshat of the Malbim. He says that sometimes they came to a place and people were like, yeah, I think I saw some donkeys. They were here, they were there. So they split up and they looked for the donkeys because they had clues where to look. Sometimes they came to a place, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. There was no reason to split up. Where were they going to split up? They didn't know where to go. So that's why when it says Vayavar, it's because they went as individuals. They split up. So then it doesn't say Va'ayin, because there was some Shemets there. It says they didn't find them. But when it says Vayavru, they went together, that's because Va'ayin, because there was no clues. When there's no clues, split up. You go, I don't know where, and I'll go, I don't know where. You can't do that. So they just went through together, asking around. That's what the Malbim says. It's time, delicious chat. Okay. Heima bo be'eretz Tzuf. They came to the land of Tzuf. Tzuf is the home of Shmuel HaNavi. And it's called Tzuf because to be tzofe means to see. Right, it says, Or shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yom rishon Adam tzofe boy nisofe olam v'yad tzofe. To be tzofe is to see. And the Navi who sees lived there. So that's why it was called Tzuf. I don't think you have the Targum, but in mine where it says the Targum, it says, Inun Osoi, they came,
Be'aro
debo nevio d'Hashem. That's how the Targum translates Suf. They came to the land that the Navi is in. They came to the place of Shmuel HaNavi. V'Shaul Omar l'Na'aroi, and Shaul said to his servant Asher Imoi, that was with him. You see how he kept his father's command? It was with him. He said, L'chaven Ashuva, let's go and return home. Let's go and return home. Pen yechdal ovi min ha'asaynos. Maybe our father will stop with the donkeys, the da'ag lanu, and worry about us. Meaning, Shaul was saying, why are we searching the world over here? To be mekayim kibbutzav, because my father asked that we look for the donkeys. But if I don't get home, at some point he's going to be like, is Shaul okay? Now look at the lesson that he learned. He says, v'do'ag lanu, like as if Kish was going to be as worried about the nar as about Shaul. That's all the shitasa. You see that in the psukim. We're treating them like equals. Of course, a father has a special love for his son, but that's not what he says. He doesn't tell the nar, I think my father's going to worry about me. He tells the nar, that's his ava that he shows. He says, I think my father's going to worry about us. He includes him in it. Stam, such an edelkeit, no? Such a sensitivity. But it's so interesting. He says, lecha, let's go, v'nashuva, and we will return. He could have just said, v'nashuva, let's return. I was aiming on an interesting thing. It's a little bit of a halachic thing. I don't know if any of you were in the, maybe some of you were in the shiur that I gave at the end of last year about Nesios Kapayim in the Rabbi Sachs's shiur at the very end of the year, like when the zman was already over. But I have a very interesting ha'ara. Shaul was going to be Mekayim Kiburav, right? But coming home is not Kiburav. He gave up. He's coming home. But Shaul doesn't do that. Shaul figures out a way that when he's going, it's Kiburav. And when he's going home, it's also Kiburav. Because I'm going home, not because I gave up. I'm going home because I want my father not to be worried. That's right. Listen to this very interesting thing. Listen to this very, very interesting thing. There's a halacha that when you put on your shoes, you put on the right shoe first. Not tying shoes, that's a different sugya. When you put on your shoes, you put on the right shoe first and then the left shoe. When you take off your shoes, you take off the left shoe first and then you take off the right shoe. Why? Because being melubash, wearing clothing, that's the chashivas. So the chashivas of the yamin is that it goes on first, and the chashivas of the yamin is that it goes off last. Say the poiskim. I know it from Rav Kook. My father showed me. My father went through once the whole Pirush or Shulchan Aruch of Rav Kook. And I remember him telling me very excitedly, this ha'ara, that there are certain times when you take off your shoes that you should take off the right shoe first. And he says, one example is when a kayan is taking off his shoes to duchen. He says, then the maisa taking off the shoes is the mitzvah. It's not that you're getting undressed. It's the maisa taking off the shoe. So maybe you take off the right shoe first. And he says the same thing is true for any of us on Erev Yom Kippur. When we take off our shoes, not stop getting undressed, we're taking off our shoes to be mekayim the mitzvah of ne'ilas ha'sandal on Yom Kippur. So to be mekayim that mitzvah, so then we take off the shoes with the right shoe first. So I had a kasha, which I find very, very interesting. I think that if I tell my children, go upstairs and get into pajamas, that they should take off their right shoe first. Lashita, what I'm saying over here. They're taking off their shoe, why? Because they're getting undressed or because I told them to? They're doing it because I told them to. So that's a din of kibbutzav. It's a mice of taking off the shoes. Maybe they should take off the right shoe first. So maybe when kids are told by their parents to go to sleep, maybe there's a different din of taking off the shoes than when they go to sleep on their own. It's an interesting shaila. Okay, you can play around with that. I had this whole machlokes with my father, speaking of fathers, if the same thing is true about Tisha B'Av. My father said, there's no mitzvah to take off the shoes. It's just, you shouldn't be wearing shoes. Like, we were like being done. At which point is the mitzvah taking off the shoes? I held there is a mitzvah taking off the shoes. That's a maisa of avelos, taking off the shoes. Like it says, Rabbi Lezer took off his shoes. It's a maisa of avelos. But anyway, that was Shaul HaMelech saying to his nar that let's go back. We give up. We didn't find the outside. We went on a journey. I don't know what I'm doing outside the Beis Medrash to begin with. For some reason, my father sent me on a journey. It was a failure. Think about what this means, Rabbi Yisai. This happens to us in our lives also. It was a failure. It was a waste of time. We have Malchus in Klal Yisrael because of that failure. What a lesson. So that's what we'll leave it with this for this week. Next week, Be'ezer Hashem, we will learn the macha that the Nar made. The Nar of Shol suggests to him that there's a Navi in town. If we happen to be, and this is part of the Hashgacha, they happen to wind up, their last stop was in a town that had a Navi. There's a Navi in town. And we'll discover that Shaul thought that he happened to wind up in a place that there's a Navi in town, but he's going to find that the Navi was waiting for him. Be'ezer Hashem, we'll continue next week.